before I call for the ushers to come forward, I thought it'd be appropriate. Aaron will be preaching in just a little bit, but me just to make a few statements about events that happened this past week, as kind of give you some pastoral direction or advice, or just to try to, how do we as Christians process things that happen, such as in Connecticut on Friday. And those of you who have Member Hub, I sent out a thing this morning, and I want to tell that Josh and Amy Gross sent me this link from Al Mohler, who is a Reformed Baptist and president of Baptist Seminary. A very good article. I couldn't credit them for sending it to me because the announcement thing on this, there were so many characters, and then when I tried to, I had to keep backing it down so you could get the full link. But I want to thank Josh and Amy. I urge you to read that. But as I thought about these events, I said, what do we say to them? How do we deal with that? And for some reason, the first thing that came to mind is a man who lost 10 children, and that is Job. Because when we go to him and see what how he dealt with it, and in losing his children and losing his livelihood, also in losing his health, he gave us two very strong statements. One, and we need to remember, they were stated in the midst of grief. And he had grief, so I'm not denying grief. But in the midst of that grief, he says, God has given, and God has taken away. May his name be blessed. And so Job tells us that the only place you have to turn, even in this, when you don't understand, is to God. And then later, even after others told him to reject God, his wife himself told him to curse God and die. He said, shall we accept only the good from God and not the evil? When he says that, he reminds us of two true facts that we have to face. Number one, there is evil. We cannot deny it. There is evil in this fallen world. But also, a blessing in the midst of that evil is that there's a sovereign God even over that. We might not fully understand what he is doing and how he's doing it, but we know the hand of the one who is sovereign. And so it drives us back again to the character of our God and to rest in him. But then as I thought as well, we're in the Christmas time, and the Apostle John, when he introduced Christ coming into the world in his gospel, he talked about a light coming into the world. But then when he talked about that light that comes into the world, he said, but men love darkness more than light. In fact, he kind of gives us the concept they hate the light. And they have a great want of the darkness. And that's what we saw on Friday, man's love of darkness. Now, that darkness is going to spread in the upcoming days. This is the direction I want to give you. You're going to hear of the darkness in many different ways. There are going to be those, it's already started, who are going to call what happened a sickness. Now, we need to recognize what happened was sickening to us, and it ought to be. It ought to strike at our gut and give us a sickening feeling. But please don't call it sickness, because that means there was no real thought or action. It was evil. It was evil rearing its head in this fallen world. And we need to recognize that, because the problem is the world in its love for darkness does not want to acknowledge evil. It wants to call it something else. We live in a world where God says it is cursed when we call good evil and evil good. And we need to recognize that, and we need to recognize when men are trying to hang on to their love of the darkness by describing evil as sick. Secondly, we need to be aware of just simplistic arguments for the problem. I know within this congregation we have people who believe that guns are fine, and we may have people who believe that you shouldn't have them, and that's not the argument I want to get into in that. But the argument for just having some type of control on firearms is a too simplistic of an argument to answer the question. I grew up in the 60s. I grew up in a time where there were not as many gun laws, and there were proliferation of guns, and I can never remember a time of a school shooting. We've added more and more laws, but yet the shootings have gone more and more. And so just to say if we would just have this, it would cease to cause the problem is too simplistic. It's, again, a love of darkness. It's much like those who would say that poverty causes crime. If poverty caused crime, why wasn't there high crime rate during the Depression? Again, we're looking at the wrong problem. Yes, there may need to be controls here or there. I'm not going to deny some things like that. But to just say that's the problem never addresses the root. And we as Christians need to call. And the problem is not the things. The problem is man's heart. Prophet Jeremiah says the heart is desperately wicked. It's not sick. It's desperately wicked. Who can tame it? The real surprise at times we might want to say is not that this happened. Is it, why doesn't it happen more with the evil of heart? And that's just God's restraint of that evil. Keeping that fence around it, not allowing it out to go. But we also live in a culture where it says, and no longer will we say with Jeremiah, the culture says, why are we shocked? We should be shocked that God would allow this evil, but we should take for granted any good that we receive. Because we live in a world that has taken God totally for granted. And no solution that does not address the heart will ever work in this culture. The real issue is very simply what God told us through the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. He says, God will not be mocked. What you sow, you shall reap. We live in a culture that has sowed seeds of no God. We live in a culture that has sowed seeds of no truth, of no morals. Is it any wonder that we have reaped this on Friday? We live in a culture that sought to have nothing of God. We don't want God. Keep him in the churches, not in the streets. Pray in your churches, but keep him out of the schools. Is it any wonder we reap a culture without God? We live in a culture that has sowed seeds that calls evil good. You look at television, at movies, and yes, parents, at video games. That have desensitized people to death. That even elevate death as a joyful thing. Is it any wonder that we reap death when we elevate it as a way? In 1973, we sowed seeds that says a baby in a womb is no longer safe. Is it any wonder that 40 years later, children in the classroom are no longer safe when we devalue life to that point? We've sown seeds of all types of darkness. We've glorified the darkness. And we've reaped the chaos of school shootings. But what's the answer? The only hope is not more regulations. It's more of a Savior. John says a light came into the world, but men love darkness more than light. But on those that light shined, a blessing came. A change of heart comes. The light must shine in this darkness. That's why I want to speak to you, because you're going to talk to people this week. We are not the light. On Christmas Eve, we light candles, reminding ourselves our light is a reflection of the light of Christ. But we are just like John the Baptist was in John 1. We are a witness to the light. And we as people of God need to be able to overcome that darkness. Don't step in and agree with the darkness. Read the article from Al Mohr. Very good article. Think through some of these passages. Think through, because God says our actions have consequences, and our cultural actions of driving God out have produced for us a culture without God. And you see, this is what a culture without God produces. The answer is for the Christians to get serious of their walk and life and following of God. That will be the only. I remind you again what Christ says. You are a city on a hill. Let your light shine. We are salt of the earth. Salt, in that picture, stopped the decay. The answer lies with us. Being that light, being that salt, standing up for the truth. Pray for the families. Pray for the town. Pray for revival. Most of us can quote 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will come and heal their land. But you can read that verse in reverse. When the people do not seek God, the land experiences the power of the curse. I'm always struck, and I'll close with this. When we sing Joy to the World, he says he comes to make his glory known far as the curse is found. We saw the curse Sunday, Friday, but we can see the Savior, and he can overcome that curse. That's our job. That's our calling. That's our salvation. Let's pray. Almighty God, we don't fully understand all these things that happened, but Father, we can come to the one who has wisdom, who has power, who is even controlling. And Lord, while Job was struck and didn't understand, yet he was driven to his knees before you and praised you because you are a good God and a wise God and a powerful God. And Father, you will make sense in your time. But Father, in this darkness that we have seen, in this evidence of the curse, in this evil, you have placed us to be witnesses to the truth, to be lights and reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as your people here this week meet with other people, be they at work, at parties, at family gatherings, or wherever, give them the words of truth to shed light in this darkness. And Father, we acknowledge that we have been silent far too long. We have not sought you as we ought, and so our land suffers. And so, Father, we ask now, not because we deserve it, we deserve the curse, but we ask and plead for your mercy and for your healing. We thank you that there is hope. We pray for those families that have lost, that even in the midst of that loss, they would see the Savior, that they would receive what the angel said to the shepherds, peace in the midst of their turmoil. And even for the town, Lord, might it be changed because of your truth. In Jesus' name. Amen.